welcome to Pillar of Truth. Today in our series entitled The Real Story of Marriage, we're going to see what God means when he tells the wife that she must submit to her husband. And then next time, we'll look at what God expects for husbands. This idea of submission being an actual responsibility for the wife in the marriage is considered to be almost vulgar in so much of society today. And many churches have followed suit and have either ignored the teaching altogether or tried to make the word mean something that it doesn't. And though that has been the response and reaction of so many in our culture, God's word is in no way ashamed of the concept of submission. The Bible treats it as a good thing, and it's a command that recognizes God's good plan in marriage. One of the reasons that marriage is good is precisely because God, in his wisdom, has given the husband and the wife different but complementary roles. No system in existence will be able to work properly if one part of the system wants to neglect its own role and instead pursue a role that it wasn't created for. No machine would ever function that way. If we were to personify a car and the brakes were to decide they didn't like their role of being brakes and instead decided they wanted to fulfill a different role in the car that they weren't created for, then not only would they be trying to do something that they were ill-suited for, but the end result would most likely be a crash. And in the same way, so many marriages end up crashing when the husband or wife chooses to neglect their role. The current cultural crisis when it comes to the understanding of marriage, that marriage can now mean essentially anything or nothing, stems from the root issue of no longer caring about the roles in marriage that God has designed. Marriage is God's creation. It can only run well when we are obedient to his design for it. God made marriage to be between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. We must guard and defend that truth, but the same God also designed specific roles for the husband and wife. Another foundational truth we must also guard and defend.
We glorify God's redemption in submission. We glorify God's redemption in submission. Notice I didn't say in that point, wives glorify God's redemption in submission, because we all do. Wives have a unique role by virtue of being a wife, where they get to model submission for the entire church, for the entire world. This is an awesome privilege that a wife has. So with the words from verse 21 still in mind, submitting out of reverence for Christ, Paul instructs the wife in verses 22 to 24, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Notice here that Paul, in writing, he does not impose submission upon wives using external hierarchical authority. In other words, he doesn't write to their husbands in authority over them and tell husbands to keep their wives in submission. Any husband who is trying to beat his wife over the head with these verses is out of bounds. He's stepping out of his role. These verses are written to the wife. Let the wife take up these verses and put them into practice. Paul writes directly to the wives. It acknowledges the status of women as equal with men, of wives as equal to husbands. He speaks to them as an equal to an equal, not only by virtue of creation, that both are created in the image of God, but by virtue of redemption. Christ died for men individually and women individually, died for his people. So in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, Paul instructs each one to submit to Christ, verses 22 to 24, to wives, verse 25 and following, to husbands. I realize, in talking about submission, here in our culture that's been dominated by feminist thinking for many decades now, talk of submission appears to worldly minds to be either totally outdated, outmoded, backward, and even harmful. Because of our cultural moment, pastors are often tempted to soften or apologize for what the Bible says about submission. Or on the other hand, they brace up and get too strong and try to bring down the hammer. James Montgomery Boyce, great commentator, great exegete, pastor, he acknowledged this in his commentary on Ephesians, this tendency, his own temptation in his own ministry. I found that refreshing that he admitted to that and put it in print. But he writes this, "We know there are thousands of women who rail against this, and thousands of men who give them just cause. But a Christian woman will nevertheless desire and seek to live up to God's standard." I've come to believe that as well. As I talk to Christian women, love obeying God's word. They love the concept of biblical marital submission in the way the Bible describes. Boyce continues writing this. He says, "No good woman, indeed hardly any woman at all, wants a man she can boss around. She wants a man she can look up to, whose judgment she can respect and whose leadership she can respond to. If she does not get this in her man, she feels cheated. True, wives are sinners like their husbands. They'll press their husbands on the question of mastery. They'll fight for their own way. But deep inside, what wives really want, they want a man who will take charge. They want a man who will exercise loving leadership. They want a man who will take initiative, take responsibility, make good and wise decisions. And when he blows at a decision, he'll humble himself, come back, admit his fault, and ask for help in getting to the right place." I think the bitter irony of modern day liberal feminism is that it's gotten both men and women to believe the lie that women actually want to be feminists. Listen, I think most women, you get them individually and you talk to them privately and you'll realize, whether they're Christians or not, you'll realize they don't want to be feminists. They don't want to be running around in pants and going to war and fighting all their own battles. They don't want to rule everything and boss men around. They want men to stand up and be men, the way the Bible describes. They want men to take initiative and take charge the way the Bible describes, not the way some actor on a movie screen acts, not in some dominant authoritarian way, but exercising loving biblical authority. When you describe that to a woman, even the most worldly woman, you describe what biblical leadership looks like, I want that. I want that. They don't want any man to exercise cruel, harsh, self-serving authority. There are far too many examples of that. They want men to follow the example of manliness that's found in Christ. They rejoice, actually, when men practice that in their marriages. They're going to help them pick up the pieces and keep moving, encouraging them all the way. That is the mercy that God promised in the context of the curse upon the woman in Genesis 3:16. Your desire shall be for your husband. Though there's failure, though there's ruin, though there's misery and sorrow and sadness and suffering because of sin, your desire is going to continue to be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. It's not a harsh, oppressive rule. Some of the Bible's describing, it's the kind, gentle, caring leadership of a loving husband. Again, husbands, look to Christ. That's our model. Now, if biblical submission is the voluntary, thoughtful, active practice of lining up under the authority of one in charge in the fear of Christ, then a wife's submission in marriage is the voluntary, thoughtful, intelligent, active role of a helpmeet, a woman who helps her husband pursue the will of God out of love and devotion to Christ. Biblical submission, a wife's submission to her husband in marriage, is the voluntary, thoughtful, intelligent, active role of a helpmeet, a biblical helpmeet who helps her husband pursue the will of God out of love and devotion to Christ. Now, as we come to verses 22 to 24, very quickly here, the pattern Paul follows in his instruction to the wife. Paul gives a command. He gives a reason to support the command and instruct the mind, motivate the will. He also makes then a comparison to the relationship between Christ and the church, provides an aspirational model to follow. You can jot those down as subpoints if you like. Command, reason, and comparison. Let's start with subpoint A, the command. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Listen, women everywhere should be, in hearing that command, breathing a sigh of great relief. Paul does not say all women submit to all men. He says wives. That applies to married women only. Wives, submit to your own husbands, not to other husbands, not to all men in general, to your own husbands. That puts you under the refuge of your husband's authority and protection and provision to be loved, to be cared for, provided for, protected, cherished by him. Are there other men to whom you must submit? Yeah, we already talked about that. The institutions of government authority, church authority, listen, we all submit to authority, but the most fundamental institution, the sphere in which you live your normal daily life, it's your own husband, not your father, not your mother. It's your husband, not your children, grandchildren. It's your husband, not your pastor, not your congressman. It's your own husband to whom you must submit. Second thing to point out in the command, this is no ordinary man. This particular man has a privileged role. That is, he is in the unique privileged position of being your husband. Isn't he blessed? Did I hear him an amen? I didn't hear one amen out of that. Of course he's blessed. He's husband to you. It means he's been specially chosen by God to be your leader. to be your intimate partner. He is your chosen gift from God to bless and benefit you. This is no ordinary man. He's your man. You are his woman. God chose this particular man to be a blessing to you, to be specially designed, prepared for you and you for him. He is the unique one. You match as his complement and he as yours. You're specially designed and most fitting to him, this particular man, as his helpmeet. So if God has granted you the gift of marriage, you ought not to take that for granted. You've been given the gift of participating in this creation institution for your shaping, for your formation, and you for his. It's for your maturing in Christ and his maturing as well. The way that happens is through your practice of voluntary, thoughtful, intelligent submission to your own husband in a context of intimacy and joy in marriage. It's a gift. Third thing about this command, biblical submission to your own husband, involves voluntary, thoughtful engagement of the intellect, the will, the affections are involved. All this is in the context of an intimate relationship, one flesh relationship of marriage. Don't ever make the mistake that biblical submission means walk on me, I'm a doormat. It doesn't mean turn off my brain, do whatever my husband says. That's obedience. And you may obey and line up and just do whatever is told. That's not biblical submission. You're commanded to something higher, something that acknowledges your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your affections. So women, don't turn off the heart. Don't turn off the brain. Don't turn off the intuition. Don't turn off all the experience. Don't turn off your perspective on life. This is good. This is what God designed. This is all in the context of a one flesh relationship in marriage. Does submission involve obedience? Of course it does. All of our submission involves lining up and obeying in some way. Sarah obeyed Abraham, 1 Peter 3:6. That was an outworking of her submission as she put her hope not in Abraham, but in God who is over Abraham. As we said earlier, though, mere obedience is not biblical submission. Biblical submission involves obedience, but it's far more. A child can do what his father tells him without understanding why he told him to do it. An employee can do his job without understanding the strategies and strategic goals of the executives above him, but you know, you can say a soldier can do his job without knowing the general's strategic plan for the battle, for the war. But biblical submission isn't like that. Biblical submission involves the understanding. It's about the intellectual engagement of the heart, the mind, the will. Submission means that the person lining up under authority strives to understand the thinking of the person in authority. What does that demand? Relationship. It demands communication. It demands intimacy, relational intimacy. By understanding the one in authority, the one under authority, can better embrace and help the one who's in authority, help to realize his goals, to be a good fitting helpmeet. So while you can't perform biblical submission without obedience, biblical submission is far more than mere obedience. It demands the mentality of a helpmeet. When a woman gets married, she has voluntarily made a choice, hasn't she? When a woman gets married, at least in our society, in our time, in our place, she's making a voluntary choice, isn't she? She's making a voluntary commitment. She enters into a covenant before God to become the wife of a certain man. She chooses to enter into that married state to become a wife. You don't get to define the definition of wife. God does. So when you see the definition of wife and accept God's definition of wife, God's design for the wife and his will for the wife's role, what Paul is saying is wives continue volunteering. You continue that voluntary lining up spirit. You continue to define your marriage and your role the way God defines it and designed it. You continue in submission, practicing the wifely role, which is why, number four, Paul connects a wife's submission to her husband with her submission to the Lord. End of verse 22, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Your thoughtful, heart-engaged submission to your own husband is an outworking of your thoughtful, heart-engaged submission to your Lord and Savior. Brings us to the reason for submission. Subpoint B, the reason, verse 23, 4. What's it say? The husband is the head of the wife. He's the authority. Husband is the head of a wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Just as God chose you would enter the world as a woman and not a man. Just as he designed and equipped you for your role with your unique gifts, joys, privileges. Just as God chose you to live in the world as a wife. Joined to a husband, partnered with him for mutual intimacy and pleasure and joy, God also chose the husband to be the authoritative head in the domestic relationship and for you to line up under that authority. That is God's perfect, good design for marriage. The husband is the head, he's the authority in the marriage, and the wife lines up under his authority. She's designed to be his helpmate. She operates best at her maximum potential and capacity when she is acting as a helpmate. And they do their part to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and exercise dominion and all the rest. It's all God's infinite wisdom. It's how he conveys his wisdom, his goodness, his blessing through marriage, that first formative institution, out into the rest of the world. So, first part of the reason Paul gives to wives for submitting to their husband, he starts by appealing to their intellect, reminding them the husband's headship, his authority, that's by God's good, perfect, wise design. So it means a wise woman is going to open up her Bible, turn to Genesis 1 and 2, read the text, recognize the all good, all wise God created marriage precisely this way, and she'll work out her sanctification and glorify her God who redeemed her in Christ, turning away from any sinful, fearful impulse, and embrace the authority structure God put in place, submit to her own husband. The second reason we see here, second part of the reason that Paul gives for wives to submit to their own husband is the hope of intimacy and the hope of affection that God built into the design for marriage. This brings up another subpoint, subpoint C, the comparison between the husband's headship in marriage and the headship of Christ over the church. Verses 23 to 24. Notice the comparative language. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body is himself its savior. As the church submits to Christ, more comparative language, so also wives should submit to in everything to their husbands. What Paul writes to wives, it foreshadows the instruction he's about to give to the husbands, which is heavy on this comparative between marriage and Christ's redemptive relationship in the church. Verse 25, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Comparative, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Ladies, I hope you like the sound of that, to have your husband loving you as himself. Recognizing that God took Eve from Adam's rib, and Eve always wants to come back. And the man wants to bring her back, bring her close, under the armor, close by his side, to understand that God designed your husband to cherish you, nourishing and cherishing your marriage. This isn't about you submitting to some cold, indifferent principle of authority submission that God put into the world. This is about Christ your Savior, the one who died for you, the one who set an example for your husband as well, to give himself up and even die for you. It's not about suffering under the oppressive rule of some foreign hostile power. This is about your husband. This is about the one who looks to Christ as his authority, looks to his life as his authoritative example. So, verses 23 to 24, Paul prepares the wives to see that Christ himself is the one who commands the conscience of her husband. He is by nature the example. She trusts him already. You as a wife can trust Christ already because he's died for you. He's done everything for you. He's secured your eternal salvation for the glory of God. How will God not also with Christ freely give you all things? Christ put his life on the line for you. There's an intimate, vital, organic connection that exists between Christ and his church. By the Spirit, by the Word, he did it all. He suffered to the extreme. He proved his love when the bride was most unlovely. A Savior like that, who exercises his authority over us just like that, what could keep us from loving, lining up under his loving authority? What could stop us? Only our sinful impulses, right? Only our sinful distrust. The only prevention is the fear and anxiety that is not merited because of him. It opens up our sin and reveals that to us. There's no reason for distrusting God. There's no reason for trusting Christ. So wife, when your Savior, when he lovingly calls you to line up under the authority of your earthly, limited, flawed, sometimes mistaken, some very imperfect husband, can you yourself, all the same things, earthly, limited, flawed, imperfect, as a wife, can you submit to Christ? Can you trust him? Can you submit to your husband? Can you submit to him in verse 24, as it says, in everything? Of course you can. Yes, you can. He commands what you are able by the Spirit and by the Word to do. And I'm telling you, when you do it, you rejoice in doing it. You're thrilled to be obedient to him because God, who is at work in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. This is his good pleasure, his revealed will that you live in submission to your husbands and everything. Fourth century pastor John Chrysostom, he said that when wives are in harmony with their husbands, quote, children are well brought up, and the domestics are in good order, and neighbors and friends and relations enjoy the fragrance. But if it be otherwise, all is turned upside down and thrown into confusion. Folks, that's what we're seeing today. Just like you can imagine a tornado coming through the grocery store, or men coming through the hardware store and mixing up all the nuts and bolts and screws and nails, and everything's all mixed up. That's what we're seeing relationally in marriages today, families today. Wives and husbands forsaking the good order of the authority submission structure and the love and respect commitment that should characterize the marital relationship. And we're suffering for it, aren't we? Individually, socially, collectively, culturally, we're suffering. But through marriage, through Christian marriage in particular, listen, we get to practice glorifying God's redemption in Christ. Just taking up our roles. Just following this instruction. Modeling and portraying the relationship between Christ and his bride. Christian wives, you have the unique privilege, a special role given to you by God to bless your husband with your intelligent submission, through your wise, informed counsel, with diligent, hard work. When you do that, you set an example for your children to follow. You shape young boys, you shape young girls growing up in your home and watching this portrayed before them, albeit imperfectly, but God's grace covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? God shapes through your marriage, your boys, your girls to embrace that authority submission structure that God designed for our good and his glory. Extending outward from the family, you know what else your submission does? It provides instruction to the church. When we, together, when we watch a wife in submission to her husband, she sets an example about how we're to live in submission to authority. I've seen some difficult, difficult marriages. I've seen a dear Christian woman married to a very harsh, unrepentant, non-Christian man who was petulant, silly in his forms of irritation and agonizing his wife and annoying her. And I watched her sweetly line up and submit to this man until God ended it, taking his life. It was instructive to me, as it's instructive to all of you. We as a church watch and we learn and we see what lining up under authority looks like, even in the worst of circumstances. It brings glory to God. It teaches us as a church how to line up under the authority of Christ, who is none of that. He's good. He's not bad. He's kind. He's not harsh. He's gentle. He's tender. He's loving in his exercise of authority. All this redounds to God's glory. It glorifies the redemption that God put in place from long ages ago, being accomplished, fulfilled in Christ and through the church. So much more to say on this subject and so many points to expand upon. I know so many questions arise in your mind and they're good questions that you have, but we have to cut it off here just for the sake of time. When we come back next, we're going to look at verse 25, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And if you hear nothing else, husbands gave himself up. Let's pray. Our Father, we rejoice in this structure that you built into marriage from the very beginning. And were it not for the redemption that we find in Christ, were it not for the clear instruction of the Word, were it not for the power of the Spirit, were it not for a regenerated heart, a new nature that you have given us, were it not for salvation, were it not for your redemption, this pattern of authority and submission in marriage would be nothing but a source of frustration, agony, irritation, annoyance. Be something that we turn away from. And yet because of you and your love for us in Christ and making us new creations in Christ, you've given us a new nature. You've taken out the heart of stone, put in our heart of flesh. You've given us a new nature. You've put your Holy Spirit within us and teach us to walk in your ways and obey your commands. So there is great, great hope in fulfilling our purpose to glorify you in and through our roles in marriage. We pray that you would help us as a people to have an instinct toward submission, an instinct toward lining up under authority, to speak well of authority, to demonstrate that in and through the church. We pray that we would be a people who, by good order and proper hierarchical structure, your word would go forth, do its good work, and that we would be a people that's known for our love for one another, the way we line up under your authority. We love you and thank you so much for what you're teaching us in this series. We pray that you would give us the ability to obey by your Spirit, by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, isn't it good and refreshing to hear a solid biblical definition of submission? Now, are we practicing it in our marriages? Wives, are you voluntarily placing yourself under the authority structure that God has designed for your good and as an example to the world of His redemption? And husbands, are you loving your wives and bringing her close to your side, nourishing her and cherishing her and making it easier for her to do this? Thanks so much for joining us just 30 minutes each day, and soon you'll be standing up and standing strong on Pillar of Truth.